All right, welcome to Flames at 5. It is a Calgary Flames game day. We are just under 2 hours away from the start of the Flames and the Predators' second meeting of the season for these two clubs. A shutout victory for the Flames in Nashville. Quite a feat. No one shut out the Preds at home last year. They did it to spoil their season home opener. More on that and the events of last night. It's time for Eric Francis Fridays, brought to you by the Beltliner. All day brunch, craft beer, and boozy slushies 7 days a week. Mr. Francis, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm doing today's hit live from West Hillhurst Arena, where the Novice 2 Warriors are playing against Trails West. It's 3-2 right now. That's the last update I'll give you about my son's playing a net, and I can't miss a minute of this as I talk to you.
Is Trails West still the dirtiest group in the league, or what's the story?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, my son does not play for them, but yeah, they... No, I'm not going to do that. It's a great game so far, and every once in a while you're going to hear an eruption of parents going crazy. And I got to tell you, it's one of the sweetest sounds ever. Here comes a great opportunity.
Oh, so okay. It's Adam, right? So what age are we talking? Is this 9, 10? 10,
no,
11?
It's novice. It's second-year novice. My son's 8 years old. He wants to be a goalie. He wants to be a goalie, and the big debate is, do I want him to get lit up early so that he doesn't want to be a goalie? Or do I want him to just enjoy it and understand that he's going to get lit up at times? I don't know.
You want him to get lit up early and get out of that position because, A, it's going to save you a lot of money, and, B, it's going to save you and your better half incredible amounts of stress watching him play as he gets older and older. It's a very simple answer.
I've been told that endlessly by everyone in the game. I know it to be true, but if your kid loves it and that's all he wants to do, then how do you say no?
The heart knows what the heart knows. That's it. You're right. Okay. Yeah. How was last night? Pizza Pig out. First time, I think, in 5 years I wasn't able to make it. My wife put me in solo parent mode as she was off at some fashion show. Somehow the Pizza Pig out didn't win out over that. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. There were a lot of different events going on last night in the city, but, yeah, we still managed to have 600 people there. And,
wow.
More than that in terms of pizzas. I think 700 people. We're still tabulating you know, the calories that were the hangovers, and the money raised. All that'll be determined in the next couple of days. But it was a big success. And if anybody listening went, or if anybody knows of a pizzeria around them that went, go and thank them because they're the heroes. They donate all that pizza so that we can raise a ton of money for 3 great charities. And that's, you know, without the pizza, it's not a Pizza Pig out. It's just a gathering.
There's always one or two things that happen every year at those that you'll never forget. You know, Brian Burke, and he always seems to find an extra thing to auction off. That's in years past. We've seen Calgary Stampeders dominate in the pizza eating competition. What were some of the highlights last night in terms of some of the celebrities or the people that everyone were watching eat pizza?
One of the players is going to be one of the stars of Cavalry FC, Nico. He won the pizza eating contest. He almost ate a whole pizza in 2 minutes.
Wow.
That's pretty unbelievable. There was an auction item that Brian Burke donated, and I think this is noteworthy to mention. 2 tickets to Toronto, flights, hotel, lunch with Brian. He'll give you a tour of Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet Studios, and then you go to the Flames game against the Leafs. Brian Burke donated all that.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a pretty unbelievable package, and he put the bill for it. And, you know, he's always been very generous. I mean, his charity is one of them that the proceeds go to. You Can Play. But he doesn't have to do that. But I got to know Brian a lot better on the charity side than I did as an executive in the NHL, which is crazy to say for a columnist. But, yeah, he donated that. It went for almost $6,000. And another, Daniel Nestor showed up.
Nice.
Ryan Straznitsky, yeah, he stayed the whole time. Him and his wife had a blast. Ryan Straznitsky from the Humboldt Broncos, Marty Jelinek. Like, it's always a who's who of the Calgary sports scene. And, again, I thank those people for coming out because a lot of people come not just to eat the pizza, if you can believe that, but they come to rub shoulders with the who's who of the Calgary sports scene. So it was a lot of fun. I'm proud of the city. They always support it really well.
No, and you know what? Good on you for doing it. Interestingly, Nico Pesquati and the Cavalry Club are going to have to go up and play in Edmonton tomorrow. So if he's a little heavy-footed on that right flank, we know who to blame, all right?
Tommy Wheeldon, the coach, was he watched the whole thing and was actually a judge in the contest. I don't know if he was real excited or like he certainly seemed impressed. But I, as I said afterwards, if he does it again, it might not work out so well for him.
Good stuff. Hey, and good on you, man. You know what? You're obviously a guy that's made a major impact in this community for your work, but you've also found a way to contribute to charities and significant ones that allow, you know, like kids sport, you can play. These are all about access to sport, which is something we've all just absolutely loved to have growing up, not readily available for everyone necessarily.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, but you know what? I got to tell you, I moved here 25 years ago, and I learned from people like Billy Powers, who's no longer with us, and people like the boys at Spalumbo's, Jerry Forbes. Anyway, I could go on and on, but people in this city, I learned very quickly, they give back. People like Kerry Bracco and, you know, names some people know, some people don't, but I'm telling you, they make a huge impact on making our community better, and they give back. And that was something I learned early, and Lord knows if I could pass that message along to some other young, well, any Calgarians. There's a big goal right there. That's a big goal right there for the Warriors, and we got a one-goal game now.
What's the score there, Francis? Keep us abreast. Who's up? Trails
four,
West still?
It's 4-3. My son just let one in a couple minutes ago that, I don't know if it was from center, but it went right between his legs. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. So, again, I'm not sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing.
We call that a Brian Elliott special. He's still got a chance to make it, Eric. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Okay, let's get to tonight's action. The Flames have strung together pretty impressive victories. One in Colorado where they got off to a sluggish start. And then I thought a very sound effort against the Bruins here at home the other night. Can they make it three in a row tonight with a very deep and talented Nashville club in town?
We'll see, right? I mean, this is a team that's going to be pretty motivated. They haven't lost since they were beaten by the Flames, you know, kind of embarrassed by the Flames on their home ice. Nashville played a pretty darn good game, but Flames played a better game. You know, it's always a mug's game trying to figure out who's going to win on any given night. But, you know, suffice it to say, this Nashville team is on paper, you know, a top five team in the National Hockey League, in my mind, no question. And for the Flames to waltz into their building and shut them out, that's quite the anomaly. And bodes well. I mean, and what happened against Boston the other night, that's a huge, you know, confidence is so huge. Winning on home ice is so huge for this team because they didn't do it last year very often. There are a lot of positive signs so far this year. I mean, they're inconsistent. That's, you know, it's early. But, you know, what we saw two nights ago in Boston was just as impressive as what we saw in Nashville. And but it all starts, again, with the goaltending, which we know is going to be the number one question all year long.
Okay, a couple of lineup notes. Dylan Dubé returns to the fold. He'll join the fourth line. His first night off for Austin Zarnik, who I've liked, but boy, it's a deep group. You don't have to play bad to get taken out of the lineup. If we learn one thing, I think it's that with this group of 14 forwards.
Yeah, you know what? That's what they did all summer long. They tried to get depth, so they have options like this. And I think, look at Michael Frolik the other night. I mean, he was the best player in the game. He was a man possessed out there. Now he's back with familiar teammates. We got a four-all game here right now. We have
wow.
A four-all game. It is so exciting. Sorry. Yeah, for Zarnik to come out, I don't think he's even going to beat himself up. He knows that there are options that this team has. And when you got guys coming in out of the lineup and they got to fight to stay in it, it's very motivating. Like Frolik the other night, like we've never seen him play like that. I've never seen him play that well. And I'm not saying it was just because he sat out a game, but, you know, that can be very motivating for guys. And as Frolik said after the game, it's a long, long season. And, you know, at the end of the season, these guys are going to go in and out of the lineup. Just because you come out doesn't mean, oh, my God, my time here in Calgary is done or anything like that. They got so many great options, and it's just Zarnik's turn to sit out.
The 3M line put back together for the first time in a while. Do you think that's going to be a mainstay, or is this something that Bill Peters is going to pick and choose the nights where he uses that line?
I think, you know, he said earlier to us that he's been moving his lines around, but, you know, he really wants to, you know, like every coach, they want to stabilize them. And you know you've got that long history with the 3M line. I guess the short answer is I think he's still going to move it around when it's not working at nights. But I'd be shocked if it wasn't together tonight.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing to me was he put it together with, you know, 100% with an eye on shutting down the Bruins' top line, which I think is the best line in hockey. And they not only shut them down, they dominated them. That is a huge development for this team. And I'm not saying that's going to happen every night, but that was huge for this team. And that was the big reason why they won the game. So I think they'll be intact for a little while, but don't be surprised if, you know, they need a goal late or they fall behind early, that Foley gets moved down to the third or fourth line and they put a Neal or a Zarnik up there, you know, on any given night, because they need goals and they don't look to Foley to be a goal scorer.
What have you thought of James Neal? It is very early returns, but only one goal in his first six games as a Flame.
Not much. Not very highly, but I'm gonna reserve judgment. He's playing on the third line, right? I mean, he's not playing on the number one power play unit, and I'm not saying he should just be gifted that just because you got a massive contract, but it's a fascinating situation. It's another one that we're gonna be talking about all year long. You don't pay a guy like that to be on the third line. But you also don't just hand him second or first line duty just because of the money. It's a very interesting situation. And what makes it even more interesting to me is that the coach is playing some of his former players in Carolina more than he's playing James Neal. So, you know, is there a thought in the room? Is there a thought amongst the fan base that the coach is playing favorites? Or is it because he can trust those guys because he knows what kind of players they are? Or is it just because Neal hasn't been good enough? I don't know. I believe in the merit system. I don't think he merits a spot on the top two lines. I really don't so far. But then again, it's hard to merit a spot, a jump up the roster, if you're playing with third-line guys. But I still think that he meshes well with Bennett, and I think that line could be good. But until he starts scoring goals, I don't think you need to bump out a Lindholm or even a Frolik, if that makes any sense, after the game he had.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's bound to happen. It just hasn't yet. And you know what? One of the side effects of it is you're a whole lot deeper when a guy like that's on your third line, and especially when Sam Bennett's playing the way he has. I've really liked what we've seen from Sam. He's played with purpose and physicality, and he's created some chances as well.
Yeah, I think that Bennett has really come along. It's a good positive sign for this team. We've been having that conversation for 3 or 4 years. And waiting. But in the meantime, I still think Bennett can contribute in other ways, even if he's not scoring or getting points. He can play all sorts of different roles. But, if that line got going, I mean, that was one of the biggest issues for this team last year. I would argue with anybody, their bottom six was the worst in the NHL. And I think statistically they were. And obviously that's what they targeted in the offseason. And James Neal could be a big part of that. I still think James Neal could get 15 to 20 goals and be a success this year, even if he stays on the third line. And I think it's good to just kind of tell people that the rationale behind why Neal is not on that second unit is because they really think that he plays best in the past and moving forward with players that are really, really fast and have great foot speed. And Matthew Tkachuk, as solid a player he is in every way, foot speed is not his strength. It's his only weakness. And Backlund's not the fastest guy either, but he's a great player. So they think that they need him with faster guys like Dubé, and Sam Bennett to have success. It's a theory. I'm not sure I buy it, but that's what management thinks.
What are some other storylines that you've liked? There's two rookies on the blue line, and they've allowed a little more than you'd like, except for that game in Nashville. But I've also been impressed with what Valimaki and Anderson have done, given how few games they've played at the NHL level.
Yeah, I think they both really acquitted themselves well. And I thought it was interesting that they decided after St. Louis to split the rookies up. I mean, I really thought when they put the two rookies together, I mean, it was interesting for fans to see how it was going to turn out. But I thought they were going to get like 8 to 10 minutes a night, you know. But they played them, you know, 14 minutes a night together. Dangerous, right, when they're that young and prone to mistakes. I'm glad they moved them, you know, onto pairings with veterans. But my kid almost let in a real bad one there. But he saved himself. Sorry. I'd only do this on a sports station, by the way. Give you play-by-play. Valimaki's goal the other night, I'm so happy to see him score because I really think he's a good kid. And they showed him on the Jumbotron. He's Mr. Cool. You know, he never panics. He never but he's always got this great smile on his face because he's enjoying this. And I get this feeling he's the kind of guy that'll have that smile for years and years. They showed it on the Jumbotron after he scored, and it was one of those kind of goosebump moments for me. Everybody loves seeing a guy score his first NHL goal. And to see him enjoy it and have that smile and do it at a crucial time in the game, it was pretty cool. And that is a great glove save right there by my son.
Francis, good stuff. I don't know how you do it. You're being a hockey dad and an analyst at the same time. Thanks for joining us. And, again, congrats on 16 years of the Pizza Pigo. That's sensational and a feather in your cap, to be sure.
Thanks, buddy, and thanks for indulging me in letting you give you the blow-by-blow of my son's goalie career.
I've never liked Travis West, so you had me right at the beginning.
Okay, cheers. Thanks.